Well, let's talk money today. My favorite subject, not really. But the Bible certainly does talk about a lot of times about money. In fact, it speaks of money in roughly 2,350 verses, but who's counting? It's a common theme of the laws of Moses and of the prophets. It's a trademark of God's people to care for the poor and the needy. One of every seven verses in Matthew's gospel, Mark's gospel, and Luke's gospel is dedicated to the subject of money. One third of Jesus' parables are about money. In fact, Jesus talks about money more than he does about prayer or faith combined. So why does the Bible speak so much about money? And the answer is there is a fundamental connection between a person's spiritual life and their attitudes and actions concerning money and possessions. So we can hardly blame the disciples for being impressed when they see all the sophisticated and glamorous people arriving at the temple in their beautiful clothes, wrapped in celebrity and public acclaim, coming to present their tithes to God. And with their wealth, they declare their allegiance to God, their support of the temple, and with it, and what it means to the whole economy of the city of Jerusalem. So why wouldn't the disciples be impressed? I would be impressed. Here are the worshipers, who are the people of means, who are coming into the temple to do the right thing. They are tithers. They are a stewardship committee's dream come true. They bring a tenth off of the top before taxes, as the law prescribes. They bring to God their first fruits. The first tenth, the first fruits, the very best for God. That is something, because most churches settle for whatever they can get. We'll gladly take any percentage of anything anybody feels that they can spare to us. It's kind of a goodwill's industry's philosophy of giving that's been adopted in many places. Whatever somebody doesn't want, doesn't need, or has worn out, we'll be glad to take it for you. Now, I'm not suggesting that old stuff or used, gently used stuff isn't helpful for those that are in need. Clearly it is. We see it every time we have one of our rummage sales here. But it certainly doesn't match the standards of those who were bringing the first fruits to the temple, does it? So while the disciples are impressed by this great display of giving coming into the temple, it doesn't really impress Jesus. Until suddenly, unnoticed by almost everybody at the temple, including the disciples, this poor widow emerges, walking toward the treasury, pulling from her garments two small coins, two copper coins, which together total no more than a penny, and she drops them into the offering plate. Now that is something that impresses Jesus. Two coins of such insignificance that it takes both of them to make up a penny. Think spare change bowls at convenience stores. Think about the kind of tips that we leave at a Dunkin' Donuts. If you need pennies, take them. If you don't want them, drop them in the bowl. Pennies are a nuisance. They clog up your pockets. They take up space in your pocketbooks. They get in the way when we're looking for real change. They are an inconvenience at best. Yet, this is what impresses Jesus. This insignificant penny. Today, we don't even stress tithing, really. Most churches are happy to have pledgers, and we are, believe me. To have that kind of commitment's a great thing. We'd like 10%, but we'll be happy with any amount that you feel comfortable giving to the church. And these people coming to the temple are giving the very best out of their abundance. They're doing more, actually, than is even prescribed. So why doesn't Jesus hold them up as examples for us? Why isn't he impressed by them? But Jesus is impressed. He says, those two copper coins, well, they impress me very, very much. Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they out of their surplus have put into this offering, but she out of her poverty has put in all that she had to live on. All her living, everything she had. What was it that Jesus said to the scribe earlier at the temple? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all, not just 10%, not 5%, not 25%, all of it, not just the first fruits, but also the second fruits and the third fruits and the very last fruits, the ones that are no good anymore, all of it, not just the best, but also the second best and the third best and the just fair and the ones that are not even so good. God help us, our very worst. Give it all. To give a tenth observes the law. It observes what really is the minimum standard. But to give all her living exceeds the law. It recognizes and celebrates the true depth of our existence, doesn't it? As the psalmist says, the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it belongs to him. And we are God's people and the sheep of God's pastures. The problem with laws is that they tend to degenerate into legalistic thinking. And that's what Paul says to us too in the book of Romans. Especially when it comes to spiritual laws. We calculate carefully how to the very last penny our pledge or tithe, and we say to ourselves, there, that's what I can give to God. That's what I owe. We total up our income, divide out our expenses, multiply what percentage we'll give to God, and then we say, okay, that's what I can do. We want to know what that figure is. How much do I have to give to pay what is due God? How much before I can say, now I've done my part? Literally, let somebody else step up too and talk to somebody else now. How much can I give to live in peace with God and myself for that matter? Can you see why Jesus is not really impressed by that? God does not want 5% or 7%. God wants 100% of us. All of us, all of our living, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all our strength, all of it. God wants it all. God's a jealous God. We are to think of God not only when we write the check out to the church, but when we write the check out at the grocery store. We are to hear the call of Christ not only when we make offerings in the temples, but also when we pull out the charge card at the restaurant. We are to consider the kingdom of God not only when we look at a church budget, but also when we survey our family budgets. All belong to God. Now, some are probably asking, is Steve saying that I can't keep anything for myself? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that we need to look at our lives and we need to see that they are gifts from God. That's the first thing that I think we need to do, is come to an appreciation of the gift we already have, which is the gift of our lives right here, right now. We are so lucky. Do you realize each and every one of you is a 250 billion to one long shot of having been here in the first place? You're all lottery winners on a massive scale, all of us. So the first thing is to be aware of that blessing, that we're here. We're here. The real question, therefore, for Christians and for stewardship is not how much should I commit to the church, but what will I keep for myself and why will I keep it? What am I going to do with that? What I've been blessed with to glorify God? How best can I do that? These are things that we have to wrestle with, right? As human beings with God. As long as we ask the question, how much should I give? We will feel guilty and we will feel inadequate because the underlying assumption is that we can buy God's favor and peace somehow. That idea of the Reformation still continues to this day. We still try and work our way into God's favor. I know I do. I'm sure you do too and struggle with that. But God did not put us on this earth to live tight or severely constricted lives. God has given us all things, the entire creation, into our hands. He said, I give you dominion over every living thing, over the birds of the air and the beasts of the field and the fish in the seas, and I want you to enjoy them and use them and glorify myself, God, through their use. We are not to neglect the needs of our families. God has given us families for heaven's sake and for our sake. It is not good that we be alone. It is good that we be in a family. God does not want us to neglect our needs or our kids or our spouses. God has put us here to enjoy the goodness of creation and all those blessings that God has given us. But all of our living and all of our giving is to be a witness to that gift that God first gave us, who so loved the world that he gave his only son in order to reconcile the world unto himself. All of it, not just 10% of Jesus, not just the best parts of Jesus, but all of Jesus, every part he gave. What God wants is for you and me, all of us, to be his children. You see, stewardship ultimately is about giving out of our hearts. It's about giving out of our souls. It's giving of our minds and our strength, our lives, over to God and trusting that in all of aspects, every aspect of our lives, God is truly watching over and providing for us. Now, that's risky business, man. And the reason it's risky is because you're always being asked to step out in front. You're always being asked to take a leap of faith. And it's only after that you act and I act that we can see if God is providing and faithful to us for it. When I look back over my life, St. Augustine said, and I would agree with it totally, that's where I see God touching down in my life. Over my whole life, I see God, how God has never abandoned me, how God has always lifted me up, even when I had nothing but two nickels to rub together. Even when I was going through the worst emotional times of my life, God has never forsaken me, and I hope the same can be said for you. But the only way we find this out, right, is by taking that step, by finding out if God truly is good to the promises that are offered to us. We have a living faith, not a static faith, not a historical faith, but a faith that is grounded in what God is doing right now for us, even when we can't see it sometimes. And we go out and trust nonetheless. Our commitment to mission, to Jesus' mission, not our mission, but Jesus' mission, to make disciples of all nations, means that we have to learn what it means to be a disciple in the first place, what it means to follow the one who asks all of us to give our all to him, who forgives us all of our trespasses, who makes a way where there is no way, giving all of our time, all of our talent, all of our dollars. They're all spiritual disciplines. That's why we do these things. It's for our own spiritual development, man. When I first started giving, it was like pulling, it was hard. I'll be honest, I'm Scottish, I admit it. Pulling out change and putting it in the offering plate was hard when I first started giving because I thought, man, I could use that for this or that or all kinds of things. But you know what happens? As you do this, as you grow and as you keep increasing what you feel you can give, you find that you're not lacking for anything. I don't lack for anything in my life now. And I keep giving, and hopefully you will too. I'm not saying where you all should begin, but begin somewhere. That's the important part. Begin somewhere and then challenge yourselves to up it each time, each year, to force yourselves to stretch, right? Because it's this discipline that reminds us if God is faithful to us, which God is. But there's no way to know that except through the experience. From whom all blessings flow and always will flow. They remind us of our mission when we give. To serve Jesus Christ alone as our Lord and Savior. To let him rule over my purpose in life. He's the one that gives me the reason for my existence. He's the one that gives me my faith and grows it for me. He's the one who grows it in direct proportion to what I can give. And until I can give more, God's willing to stay with me. He's not going to abandon me. He's not going to abandon you. But to get to the next level, God says, stretch a little more, Stephen. Stretch a little more. As the Bible reminds us, we cannot serve God and mammon. Though I've wanted to do that many a time. I've wanted to serve God and mammon. Oh, wouldn't it be nice to be able to get this for myself or for my family? Right? But God says you can't do both. You do have to make a choice. You have to choose one or the other. So I invite you to prayerfully consider this week, seriously, to consider this week, and this is the only stewardship sermon you're going to hear out of me this year, that on Sunday, November 5th, next Sunday, when we take up our pledges and dedicate our time and all of the things that we've been blessed with, to let us see what God will do with those blessings that we offer in the year 2018. And let's see how we might grow as disciples in his name. Amen.